Welcome, welcome to Freaked Out with your co-hosts, Liz and Landon.
What's up, everybody?
Welcome back. I just wanted to give a huge shout out to all the people who subscribe to our Patreon account on Podbean. For those of you who listened to the last episode we had posted, we discussed that we had exclusive content that will be done every 2 weeks, and you'll be able to have access to all those details, plus the lives on Podbean if you are a patron. You definitely don't want to miss it. It will all be there for you to have access to anytime you want. A few of you decided to go above and beyond, and I wanted to do a shout out to you today. So I appreciate all your support. It truly means a great deal to me and Landon that you guys continue to show us your support. So the shout out for the week for the top patrons go out to Sweetie Pie, Telswick, Jay Sanjanico, and Lisa Teray. Thank you guys for going above and beyond for us on the Patreon account.
Thank you guys so much.
Yay! Now, back to the main program of tonight's show, Kyren Horman. So today we are going to be focusing on another case that I had originally talked about on TikTok, but again, was not able to get into a lot of detail. So we will cover it here today.
On June 4th, 2010, Kyren was taken to school by his stepmother, Terry. Terry decided to stick around and be there while he attended his science fair. Terry stated that she left the school around 8:45 a.m. and that she last seen Kyren in his first class, a math class, but instead he was marked absent that day.
Terry stated to the police that she ran errands at two different grocery stores from 10:10 a.m. to about 11:39 a.m. Terry stated that she was driving her daughter around town attempting to soothe her kid's earache. Terry also said she went to the local gym and worked out a bit as well. She had arrived home and posted photos of Kyren at the science fair on Facebook. At 3:30 p.m., Terry and her husband Kane walked with their daughter Kiara to the bus stop to meet Kyren. The bus driver told them that he did not board the bus after school and to call the school. The school informed them that he was marked absent, and they all decided to call 911.
Here are some strange details of this case. In late June 2010, in the thick of this investigation, Kane Horman had let the investigators know that Terry offered their landscaper, Ronaldo Sanchez, a lot of money to kill her husband.
Sanchez testified in a deposition that Terry approached him in January of 2010, almost 5 months before Kyren disappeared.
The police were trying to get Sanchez to confront Terry while wearing an audio surveillance device, but they were unable to obtain evidence and could not make the arrest.
As if he knew deep down inside, Kane filed for divorce and obtained a restraining order, and Terry was only able to have supervised visitations with their daughter.
Here's the kicker. Terry failed two separate polygraphs about Kyren's disappearance.
August 2010, it was announced that law enforcement were searching for an individual allegedly seen by witnesses standing outside of Terry's truck outside Skyline Elementary the day of Kyren's disappearance.
County Sheriff's Office told CBS News the identity of the second person, if she or he existed, could be crucial in determining what happened to Kyren.
In 2010, the grand jury subpoenaed several friends of Terry Horman, including a D.D. Spencer, someone who was close to Terry at the time and provided Terry with support and advice that was not in the best interest of Kyren.
Law enforcement said that D.D. was extremely cooperative and allowed everyone to search her property and endured 3 hours of questioning from the detectives.
On the day of Kyren's disappearance, Dee Dee left her job gardening at a homeowner's residence around 11:30 a.m. She left for about 90 minutes and came back. She claimed that she was helping Terry purchase an untraceable phone. She said that she just was trying to be a good friend to Terry.
Dee Dee made a statement saying that if she knew that she, meaning Terry, was capable of foul play, she would never have been her friend in the first place.
They didn't have enough evidence to take it to trial. Kyren's mom, Desiree, was so angry that this woman was getting away with this allegedly, she decided to file a civil lawsuit against Terry, trying to obtain $10 million in damages, but later dropped it not to interfere with the police investigation.
There were many claims by many people, a bus driver, kids, family of other kids claiming they saw her take Kyren back to the car parking lot with her baby. Ready to dive into this one?
Well, to say that my visions were all over the place trying to focus on this case is an understatement. I'm going to give you a few details about things that took place in the past as well, so you can kind of get a feel for Terry as an individual. Terry had the most jealous vibe that I have ever felt on a woman before, and that's saying a lot. She was never ever happy with anything in her life. She could have something incredible or wonderful happen, and it could instantly be ruined by someone saying her name wrong. She just never saw anything good unless it directly affected her in a positive way. Terry had issues with everyone in her life, friends, family, you name it. If the focus wasn't on her or her issues, it wasn't worth it. She really wasn't truly there for anyone else other than herself. She then met Kane, and she thought that she had finally found love. He was someone who had given her all his attention. He was funny, romantic, attentive. She had made a decision that she was going to make him hers no matter what. She did have a few people that stood in the way, including Kane's ex-wife, Desiree. I even feel like she became obsessed with Kane, as he was a new person to her. Although Kyren's mom, Desiree, didn't really care about this woman one way or another, Terry's focus was on this woman. She felt as though Desiree was being disrespectful to her in every way possible. She would obsess over her social media, stalking her, trying to build things up in her head that wasn't simply true.
She sounds like she likes to create her own drama and delusions to make her life more interesting.
Pretty much. And it's interesting that you say that because I feel an obsession with like soap operas and TV shows along the lines of wanting that can't eat, can't sleep kind of love. Kind of like the woman is obsessed with Dr. Drake Ramore from Friends. That woman who was stalking Joey.
Yes. What made her want to kill her husband?
A few years into their relationship, marriage, and her paranoia with Desiree still intact, Desiree became very turned off by Terry at this point, as Terry's behavior started to become increasingly odd. She was always staring at her and giving her dirty looks, and she's also bringing all the problems to Kane about it. And he would entertain it at first, but eventually he started to tell her to let it go. She didn't like that. She felt like he should be loyal to her 100% of the time, and anything he did to defend Desiree set off a bomb in her head. The relationship started to crumble even with the new baby. She thought the new baby would somehow save her relationship and also hang on to Kane a little harder if needed. The one relationship I have yet to mention here is her and Kyren. I see that when he first met her, she was really nice to him, and he thought she had pretty hair. He was shy, but she did her best to make him feel good. This is Kyren's only good memory of her.
How sad.
Obviously, kids act out and have their moments, and Kyren had his moments, and she did not handle them well. In front of Kane, she did her best to make it seem like she was a really good, attentive stepmom, but behind closed doors, he would go to work, and she was mean and rude and only gave her daughter unconditional love, I guess, at least better than Kyren anyway. She would talk shit about his mother to him. She was and still is such a gross person. Her feelings on him came from the fact that he had all of Kane's attention. It didn't matter what the issue was, he was there for his son, and you would think that would be something like a quality, a good quality to have in a man. But in her mind, that would only take away from him being attached to her and sending him back into Desiree's arms, and she couldn't have that. She started to get mad at Kane for listening to Desiree, and from that point on, she had a major vendetta against poor little Kyren. And of course, her feelings towards Kane as well. But with him, it was a little less meh. Whenever he would apologize to her, I feel like she would kind of take him back. She would build up this delusion in her head often. I think she still does, to be honest. She assumes every man around her finds her attractive, and that if she needed a man to help her out, she had a few options. I believe this is why she requested assistance to kill him in January. I feel like the man that she had talked to, Mr. Sanchez, was alarmed at the time that she asked him. She also brushed it off as though she was joking. She didn't really want her husband to die anyway. She only wanted to use that as an option if she genuinely needed it. But it looks like every time Kane came home, they would fix their issues and she was all about him again.
She sounds like she needs a hobby to focus all her attention on.
Right?
What happened before Kyron went missing?
Well, I see that Terry was having a lot of issues with Kyron. Shocking. The child consistently needed attention and wanting her to give him attention. I feel like this was extremely irritating to her. She was short with him. She complained to her friend Dee Dee and a few others about him. She yelled at him all the time. She called him names. Kyron was not used to being rejected. He was such a sweet kid and had always tried to make it up to her. He would make photos for her. He would make snacks, like age-appropriate ones anyway. He just wanted to make her happy and smile. He always stated that she was always nicer when Daddy was around. Kyron also shows me that when Daddy was gone, or he was working or running personal errands, there were a lot of hours they were left together. Terry would tell him to stop talking about his mother consistently. She would tell him that she was bad and that she hurt Daddy. And that mommies that hurt daddies shouldn't be happy or loved. Since Kyron was so young, he didn't really understand much of what she meant. Let's just say she wasn't a hands-on abusive person, but she was definitely verbal and mentally abusive. She was over the top with her bio daughter, and he definitely felt the difference in treatment. Maybe about 10 days before his disappearance? I feel like there was some sort of scheduling conflict with Kyron's mother. It was a really small issue, but it feels like it was something significant into Kyron needing to stay a bit longer. And it seemed like it was a trigger, at least trigger number one. Trigger number two was that Kane was having a conversation with or about Desiree. I'm not totally sure about that one. And she felt like he was defending her against him. And she felt like Kane was taking Desiree's side over hers. I see this woman right then and there deciding that she was over all this way of living and that this was the common denominator. In her mind, she thought no Kyron equals no Desiree equals no problems.
This woman is a real piece of work. I hate to ask this, but what did she do to make Kyron disappear?
I see that she had been doing a lot of planning for months. But I feel like she didn't necessarily want to seriously pursue it at the time. It's like she had planned this out in her head for a while, so putting the pieces together now was a little simpler. She was extremely motivated to complete this task. She needed a stupid man. Someone she can consider shady and creepy, a bad seed. And she did think of a few characters from her past, but I feel like she wanted to have a new person to do this so that there was no affiliation in her direction. She also knew that the person had to be a low-income person because she could give them a small amount of money and she would be able to afford this. I see that she used a public library. She went on to Craigslist. She offered a man that had an ad about being a convict and looking for work. I see long brown hair, very messy. Looks like he was super skinny, looking for a job with an attached phone number in the ad. I see that he had a written word tattoo on his face as well. I believe he now has short hair for the record. She decided to text him to meet somewhere. She spoke to this man only one time. She gave him a time and a date of where to meet. I feel like it only took a few days before she was able to actually meet him. And for some reason, I feel like she had her daughter with her there.
What a creep.
No kidding. I feel the domination in money of being $5,000 in cash after the deed was complete. I even see her showing him the money in hand.
Wow. It sounds like this woman had absolutely no remorse, and I can totally feel that. How did she get her hands on all that cash?
Well, I feel like she stashed a lot of money away, and she slowly kept adding to it. I see that she had even won money at some point as well. I feel like she had about $10,000 stored away in cash.
What happened next?
I feel like Terry had one moment where she wanted to call everything off, and I feel as though she contemplated it for about half an hour. I feel like she was triggered at some point in that half an hour as well, so she decided to go forth with her plan, not realizing the consequences of her actions.
Shocker.
She knew exactly what car he had and had told Kyron he would be getting a treat from such a great job at the science fair. She wanted to make it a point to take good mom photos, make sure to grab Kyron, and ignore any phone calls from the school. I even feel like she blocked the number or something so it would not appear on her phone. I see her telling Kyron her friend was going to take him to McDonald's or something along those lines. I keep hearing ice cream as well. I see that he was extremely hesitant to do so, but she insisted he was going to do this for her while she took care of his sister, apparently making up a story about her not feeling well. She didn't have the guts to face Kyron. Tattoo guy told her to keep herself busy and he would reach out to her on the burner phone when the deed was done. Like, I love the way they speak about this. The deed is done. These are their words, not mine.
So gross.
The only thing that Kyron shows me in relation to what took place was on the drive, they passed by the food place that he thought he was going to, and when they did not get there, he was confused.
Can you see what this guy did with Kyron?
Yes. I see a neck breaking. I see that Kyron had no idea what was going on, and he doesn't even really quite understand it now. It was very quick and painless, thank God. So he wasn't aware of any physical injury. The disgusting man took Kyron. I see a machine. I don't know what it's used for, but I feel like it grinds things. It's huge.
Are you talking about a meat grinder?
Yeah, it could be a large one. I feel like this guy could have potentially had access to a meat grinder. I don't necessarily feel like it was his equipment. I do see this old school contraption that could have easily been made in the 70s. I also feel like this was the way he got rid of the remains and making me absolutely sick inside. I don't feel like he did anything more with the body. Perhaps he disposed of it in a fire or something along those lines. I just don't personally feel like the body exists anymore.
How the hell can anyone do this to somebody, especially a child? And was Dee Dee involved?
Not in the way that we anticipated her to be. I genuinely felt like she did lie to the police about a couple little details because I think she could have prevented things from happening with Kyron. I feel like Terry had a lot of anxiety-ridden moments where she would turn to Dee Dee, begging her for help, no matter what. So she would drop everything for her and help her calm down. I don't feel like that day was the first time she did that. They may have been even a flirtatious thing going on between them. I honestly feel like Terry used her sexuality to manage and control every possible person. I do, however, believe that she had a very wild conversation with her about Kyron and how he was ruining her life, and that maybe they could move away, and how Kane was controlling, and she made up stories that were very exaggerated. She had no idea that Terry was planning to hurt this child or in the process of hurting this child. I do feel like the day that they met up, she had said something like she had done something terrible and she was having regrets about it. But never once did I feel like that conversation was about Kyron. I do feel like if she had mentioned it, Dee Dee may have tried to prevent it from happening, or at least we would have had the evidence to convict her in a bigger way.
Anything else to come out of this case?
Yes. One day this woman will be behind bars. I see that this man who killed Kyron will end up in jail if he isn't already, and he will tell someone in jail this story, and I feel like it'll get out from there. And the police will end up talking to this guy. They are also trying to find ways now to get Terry charged. I'm not sure of a timeline though, but she will get 25 years. I also see that she will never admit to it. He, Tattoo Face, may have had an item that belonged to Kyron as well. to hold on to just in case. I see that he was always afraid that he would get caught because he saw it on the news, and he had always held on to this item just in case so he could take Terry down with him. Could potentially be a shoe, currently could be in his mother's home.
Interesting. Any last details?
She's still the same person. I wouldn't be surprised if her next husband or whoever she's involved with will express that once she gets convicted. Kyron, that is one sweet boy. Still is. He had no anger issues then, even now. He thinks Terry has never been loved enough. He says she just needed a hug. He is kind and so loving and genuinely doesn't deserve this. He misses his family so much. He enjoyed being a big brother. He misses his mom and his dad. Even though things didn't work out, they did their best to parent together. His dad blames himself every day for being connected to Terry. He says it's not his fault, and he tried to always make him feel good. Best dad that a kid could have.
Wow, thanks for all those details. I know it can be hard on you, especially hearing some things like that. Let's bring this back to a positive note here.
Woo-hoo!
Everyone always asks you on TikTok about speaking to animal spirits.
Do they ever?
When they die, do they stick around?
Some do. Not all. It depends on the bond. The animals that we are bonded to always stick around. They are usually running when I see them. I've seen some interesting animals around people.
What weird animals?
I've seen a bat, I've seen a tiger, an elephant, and a beaver. Now, the beaver, I found out later, was a pet. Didn't say anything because when I mention weird animals, people look at me like I have multiple heads.
Is there any weird animals around me?
Honestly, yes. But I don't want to say. I know how much they scare you. There has always been this massive bird around you, like a pelican or something.
Well, it would be totally cool if it was a pterodactyl or some sort of like dinosaur bird. And maybe a parrot. I would be okay if it was maybe a parrot.
No, it's the pelican that steals that Jumanji game from the Jumanji movie and runs away with it. That's what I keep seeing around you.
That is weird. Thank you so much, guys, for listening. We genuinely appreciate you. Next week, we will be putting out part 2 of the Summer Wells case in the exclusive content.
Hooray!
And for the regular episodes, we will be doing the case of Natalie Holloway, as requested by many. So thank you all and all you do for us.
Bye, guys. Hope you have a wonderful weekend.
Take care, guys. Thank you.